Matthew chapter number 2, talking about Christmas and December, and I was praying about what the Lord would have us to preach on this morning. While you're turning there, I have two extra copies of the Buffalo Gap News, and I gave these out Wednesday night if anybody is interested. It's a conservative newspaper. And I haven't read the whole thing. I hope there's nothing offensive in it or anything, but a lady sent me 30 copies, and she called my house about 10 times, and she said, "Would you help me?" And I said, "Yes, if you'll quit calling me and bugging me, I will." But, no, I'm semi-kidding about that, but she had called a lot. I hope you didn't record that, but or that she's not sitting out there this morning. That'd be bad. But ask if I'd help her, and they came from New York, and they're pretty good newspapers. So if anybody, I've got two of these, I'll take them to the back at the end of the service. Matthew chapter number 2, let's read verses 1 through 12, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I know you're familiar with this, but we're going to read it again. I've learned some new things since I've been studying it out. The Bible said, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, but out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's pray. Lord, I do want to thank you for letting us be here today and all the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray and I ask that you would give good liberty to preach thy word this morning. I pray that you would take it and apply it to our hearts and help us to learn and to be edified in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I pray you'd help us as we think about December and Christmas time and all the many things that are going on round about us, Lord, that we would not forget what it's all about, but Lord, we would focus upon Thee, and God, that You would just do Your will in our lives. I pray for liberty. I pray that You would bind the devil, that he'd not be able to hinder in any way whatsoever, and just speak to our hearts, and may the Word of God be real to us today, and we thank You. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's go back, and we're just going to start in verse number 1 today. And I'm sure in years gone by I've probably preached on the wise men, but this is a little bit different this morning. I've never preached the message I'm going to preach this morning, but in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." What we want to look at today, or what we're going to be thinking about today, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, the wise men is what we're going to think about today. Who were the wise men? I mean, we really don't know very much about them. Just what is in these 12 verses. You don't find this in Luke, Mark, John, anywhere else is mentioned in the Bible. Only in the book of Matthew do we read about the wise men. We do not know their names. If we knew their names, that would be a great help in learning some more about them. But their names are never mentioned. They are just referred to as the wise men. Where exactly did they come from? The Bible does not tell us. It only says wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, if you get a map and you look at Jerusalem and you north, south, east, west, well, east, if they came from the east, the near neighbor to Jerusalem was Moab, the Moabites. And you go out farther than that, you get into Iraq, you get into Iran. And what in the Bible is referred to as Persia. And most people that study, and from what I've studied, I believe these men were from the land of Persia, or modern-day Iran. They were from a long ways away. And the reason that people believe that they came from the area of Persia is because, if you've got a Scofield Bible, it says visit of the Magi. And that's a Persian word. And that Persian word, it means this, that they were what we would refer to as astrologers. And in the Bible, they were sometimes called wise men. If you know in the book of Daniel, the ones that were the ones that they mapped out the skies and they noticed the signs and the seasons and the stars and all of those things, they were called wise men. But they mapped out the stars. And these Gentile nations in their worship, they really paid attention to the stars in the sky. And so that was their part of how they worshiped their false gods. But these men, these Magi, these Persian men, and some people say that there were three of them. We don't know that there were three wise men. I think that we say there were three wise men because there were three gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh at the end of verse number 11. So it makes a nice picture to think, you know, and makes it good in the Christmas play to have three wise men and they each bring a gift. But the Bible doesn't say there was three. There could have been two. There could have been any number of them. Probably there were more than three. But the Bible just doesn't say how many wise men there were. Some think that they came to the manger with the shepherds on the same night. But they didn't show up at the manger. They didn't come on that same night when the shepherds went to worship the Lord Jesus in the book of Luke. If we read this carefully, the Bible tells us several times it does not call the Lord Jesus a babe as it does in the Gospel of Luke. Behold, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. But here in this passage of Scripture, over and over, the Lord Jesus is referred to as a young child. If you just look in verse number 8, go and search diligently for the young child. Verse number 9, the last part of the verse, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse number 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They did not come to the manger on the night that the shepherds did. They came much later when Jesus was not a babe. He was a young child, and they came into the house where Mary was, according to the Bible. Some say that they were kings. And where do we get that from? Well, there's a great song. And I love that song. We three kings of Orient are. And you know, they follow the star and all like that. And so some people say that they are kings. But of all that we know about the wise men, we really don't know that much. But we do know that they were wise. And I want to try to preach this morning on the subject, what made the wise men wise? What made the wise men wise? All we know about them are in these 12 verses here. We want to look down through the verses this morning and notice some things. What made the wise men wise? Number one, they had the Scriptures. They had a portion of Scripture. That'd be a better way to put it. They had a portion of Scripture that made them wise. Verse number one, the Bible said, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." And here's what they said when they got there, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now, how did these men know these things? How did they know? What do we learn from verse number two? Well, they knew. Now, there's no email. There's no internet. There's no news on it. You realize we're going back 2,000 years. How did they know, coming from Persia, coming from the east, how did they know a baby was born? How would you know that in that day and time? They knew that a child had been born. How did they know that this child that was born was king of the Jews? They're not Jews. These wise men were not Jews. How did they know that a child had been born and this child was the king of the Jews? How did they know the significance of the star? They were guided there by a star that they saw in the sky. How did they know the message of that star? What that star meant? They said, "We have seen his star." How did they know these things? How did they know that this child was worthy to be worshipped? They didn't just come to see if this was really true or anything, but they came prepared to worship. They came with gifts. They came and they said, "We've seen his star. We are come to worship him." Now, as I've already said, these wise men and the land that they came from, they were men that observed the skies. They were men that observed the stars, specifically speaking. They were what we would call astrologers. They were scientist types. But I want to point out, look in Numbers chapter number 24. In Numbers chapter number 24, they had access to an ancient prophecy. They had access to an ancient prophecy, and this prophecy at that time would have been about 1,500 years old. 1,500 years. They had a parchment, piece of paper, a writing. They had somehow access to this ancient prophecy. This ancient prophecy was given to Balak, king of Moab. The Moabites were east of Jerusalem, so that direction. And this prophecy that was given to Balak, king of the Moabites, 1,500 years old, these men learned what they learned from this prophecy. Numbers chapter number 24, I'm going to read down through, I'm going to begin in verse number 15. The Bible said, "And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open." This man, Balaam, he had this vision from God. And here's what he saw. He said, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall see him, but not now." Who is the him that it's talking about? It's talking about the Messiah. "I shall see him, but not now." This is for the future. "I shall behold him," that's talking about the Messiah, "but not nigh." It wasn't going to take place in Moab. That's where the vision was given. But he said, "Not nigh. I'm going to see him, but it's not going to be, when I see him, it's not going to be here. There shall come a star out of Jacob." There's the star. "Out of Jacob Jacob's a Jew. This is how they knew these things. There shall come a star out of Jacob and a scepter. A scepter is an instrument that a king holds. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. That's why when they went to Israel, they went to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital. If you're going to find the king, wouldn't you go to the capital of the nation? And so that's how they knew all these things. And it went down and said, and shall smite the corners of Moab. That's not good news for Balak, king of the Moabites, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And so that's how they knew these things. That is the scripture that they had. That is why they understood what they were looking for when they got to Jerusalem. Now, if you only had a little scripture, it'd be good to have some scripture about Him, wouldn't it? About the Lord. And here's the good thing about the Bible. If you study it long enough and in depth enough, what you learn is it's all about Him. You know, these men may not have been interested in Psalms chapter number 23 because they weren't shepherds, but I'll tell you, they were real interested to search through all of their writings that they could find, and they said, "Oh, fellas, look, here's a prophecy about a new star. I'm really interested in that. I found out that God, He uses His Word to speak to people. And if you're open and interested in it, He's got something for you today." Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, Paul told Timothy, he said, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Timothy had been, exposed to the Word of God ever since he was a little child. And Paul told Timothy, this exposure to the Scripture is able to make thee wise unto salvation. The Scripture points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the Scripture, the star in the sky means nothing, but the Scripture is the map that pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's still doing the same thing today. The Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. I thought about this. If you could only have one book in the whole wide world, what book would you choose? You could choose a dictionary, but what are you really going to learn except for words? You could choose an encyclopedia. That'd tell you what is going on in the past. But even an encyclopedia gets out of date after a while. Anybody got any at home that's on the shelf? Yeah, them's out of date now as far as what's happened since then. But if you chose the Scriptures, you would know the past, you would know the present, and you would know the future. That's what you ought to choose if you'd only have one. You could read a novel, something you really like, some book you really like, but you know, after a while you'd get bored with that. But I've read the Word of God multiple times, and you know what? It's never gotten old or boring to me. I'm continually learning new things. If you'd only choose one book in the whole wide world, you could do no better than God's Word. God told Joshua in the book of Joshua chapter number 1, He said, if you'll meditate therein day and night, you'll have good success. You'll be victorious. God had just told Joshua, or Joshua had just become the leader of the nation of Israel. Moses had passed off the scene. We're not going to go and ask Moses no more, what should we do? So God told Joshua what he needed. You just get in that book. Day and night, meditate in that. You'll have good success. You'll be all right. God's book will make you wise. In the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, we find the writings of Solomon. And over again, we find that God's Word gives wisdom and understanding and knowledge and learning and everything you need to know to make it in this life. find wisdom in God's Word. And I'm not talking about the wisdom of the world, but wisdom that comes from God. And in Jeremiah chapter number 15, Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." And Jeremiah was sustained by the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter number 4, He was able to defeat the temptations of Satan. How did He do that? By using the Word of God. Satan came and tempted him. The Lord Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and Satan comes along and he said, "Turn these stones into bread." I tell you, you'd be hungry if you'd been fasting that long. The Lord Jesus didn't do anything except quote out of the book of Deuteronomy. And He told the devil, He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God," and on and on and on. And Timothy got saved evidently by being exposed to the Holy Scriptures. And the wise men found the Lord Jesus Christ because they had the Scripture. It wasn't because of the star. It was because of the Scripture that told them what the star meant. And by the star went right over the house where the Lord Jesus was, and they found Him in the house. GPS has been around a long time. That's original. God's positioning star. Just follow this light, I'll point you right where you need to be. I've used my GPS and it didn't know that there was a road where I was. You ever experience that? You run out into a blank screen. But God's GPS will never do that to you. They were wise. The wise men were wise because they had the Scripture. Number two this morning, the wise men were wise because they were looking. In verse number two, the Bible says this, saying, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east." They were looking. Now, something about the star. What led them to the Lord Jesus? It was not, you know, we think about searching for treasure. They didn't find a hidden treasure map in a cave or buried somewhere and say, you know, like the pirates, "Oh, here it is, and here's the X marks the spot, and we're the only ones that knows. Stick that in your pocket. This is valuable information." This was a star. This was a star in the sky, in plain view. Anybody that could look up and had eyesight could see the star that was there. It was in plain view for all to see. But evidently there was just a few that were looking. There's a difference between seeing and really looking for something. And they were looking for this star. In spite of all the evidence, I mean, the nation of Israel, the Jews, they should have been looking. They should have all been looking for their Messiah to come and to be born. They were the ones that had the Scriptures. They had more than Numbers chapter number 24. But evidently there were only a very few. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world, there were just really a very few that were actually looking for Him. They could have all seen the star. Anybody that cared to could have found out, what does that mean? I mean, this is new. This is not normal. This has not been here before. But as far as we know, only the wise men cared to really find it out. Very few were looking. Look over in Luke chapter number 2. I mean, even the shepherds, the announcement of the angels, all of these things when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Look in Luke chapter number 2. As far as I know, there's just a couple of people outside of the circle of Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. There's just a few that were looking. I get a blessing out of this every time that I read it. There was an old man. His name is Simeon. He's only mentioned one time in the Bible. There's an old man in Luke chapter number 2. He reminds me, when I read about Simeon, he reminds me of the many older preachers that I've known down through the years that have stood in the pulpit and said, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. We need to be looking for the Lord to come. I remember Preacher Art saying, I believe I'll be alive when the Lord comes. I remember Preacher Carl talking about, I hope I'm alive and see the Lord when He comes. That's looking for the Lord to come. I'm telling you, old Simeon, he was one of them that was looking for the Lord to come. The Bible said in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, and behold, there is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means he was waiting for the comforter of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah to come. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Ghost told him he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, the thing he had been looking for all them years. He said, Lord, let me go on and die. Now I've seen the Messiah, the one I was looking for all these years, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people upon Israel. Simeon was looking for the Lord to come. The wise men were looking. They were interested in that star. They know a king would be born. He was king of the Jews. Many knew, but they were not looking. Look back in our passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter number 2. There's a difference between knowing something and looking for something. And I believe in this day and time, there's a multitude of us out here, Christians, we know what the Word of God says about the coming of the Lord, but we're not really looking. See, in Matthew chapter number 2, these wise men, they came. Well, common sense, they went to Jerusalem. If you're looking for the king, go to the capital. Go to headquarters. They went to Jerusalem. They found Herod. Herod's a Gentile. Verse number 3, the Bible says this, Matthew chapter 2, verse number 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Hey, Herod doesn't want a king to be born. He doesn't want any competition. And so Herod, he's a Gentile. He don't know about all this Jewish stuff. Verse number 4, when he gathered all the chief priests, these are Jews, and scribes. These are men that are experts in the Old Testament. The chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Hey, you religious Jews over here, where is your Messiah supposed to be born? I've heard y'all talking about this. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. That is Micah chapter 5, verse 2, by the way. This is what they quoted. Verse number 6. Hey, here's what Micah said. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Herod, you want to know where the Messiah is going to be born? He's going to be born in Bethlehem, Judah. There are two Bethlehems. This is very specific. It's the small one. The one nobody would be looking for a king to be born there. That's exactly, you know, we know about the Lord's return, but are we looking for the Lord's return? They knew. They knew. They already knew what Micah said and these other things, but they weren't looking. We know, but we're not looking. We're just like they were. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 3 talks about the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And verse number 3 says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth him, even as he is pure." And you read in the New Testament, and 1 in 25 verses, every 1 in 25 verses talks about the coming of the Lord, that we're to be watching, that we're to be waiting. Jesus said over and over in Revelation 2 and 3, "Behold, I come quickly, watch, I come quickly." Be ready over and over. Be ready for the coming of the Lord. We know all these things, but are we really looking for the Lord to come? When the Lord comes, conditions are going to be like they're talked about in Matthew chapter number 24. People are not going to really be looking for the Lord to come. Matthew 24 and 44 says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." He's going to come when people are not looking. And I'm telling you today, people are not looking. They have looked a whole lot more in the 1960s and 1970s and 1980s and 1990s. But I'm telling you, when the year 2000 came, Y2K, nothing happened. Christians dropped that subject. And people aren't looking today like they were looking just a few years ago. When the Lord comes again, the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 24, what is the condition of the world going to be in? They'll be marrying and giving in marriage. They will be eating and drinking, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. The world, by and large, when the Lord comes, is going to be just like it is today. It's going to be carrying on business as usual, not concerned about the coming of the Lord, and Christians are going to be right in with the rest of them. And that's number one reason why we ought to be looking, not just knowing the Lord's coming, but looking for the Lord. They were looking. They had the scriptures. They were looking. Number three, they were active in what they knew. They were active. They were not passive about what they learned, but they were very active. Now, in verse number one, the Bible says, "There came wise men from the east." Verse number two saying, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews?" They were active with their knowledge. They didn't just sit at home. They came to Jerusalem. If what we know does not move us to action, and here's where the rubber meets the road. Preacher, we know it. We know what the Bible says about a multitude of things. But if what we know does not move us into action, then either we really don't believe it, or we really don't care. There's a lot of things that we know, but we don't really believe it, or we really don't care. You know I shouldn't eat a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. All of us probably know that. But when somebody brings them to work, and especially if they're the chocolate frosted kind, we really don't care. I don't. I can taste and smell that just saying the words. I know I shouldn't eat a whole bag of Cheetos. That's not even real food. You know, that makes your fingers orange and you put it in your mouth and it disappears. Can that in any way be good for you and you just want to eat the whole bag? But when it comes right down to it, I know it, but don't care. And that's how we are, sadly, this morning, many times, about the things of the Lord. We know, but either we really don't believe it, or we really don't care. But if you think about these wise men, and so what is their occupation in the land that they are from? They watch the prophecies. They watch the stars. They supposedly can tell their people the future by the stars. And one night, one of them, two of them, I don't know how many of them, one night Somebody looks up in the sky, and this is something they read every night. This is their livelihood. One night, somebody goes out and says, "Wow, look at that. I've never seen that before. I've never seen that star before." And maybe somebody's near. He gets, "Buddy, come over here. Look at this. How odd that is. What is that? What is that? It looks like a star. This star's different than other stars." If you go out at night and you look up in the sky and you find the Big Dipper, say, early in the evening, right when it gets dark, go back out and make a note where that is. That's over the light pole. Go back out right before bedtime and look out and find it again, and you'll notice that it looks like it has moved. It has not moved. The earth is rotating on its axis. As we move, it looks like the stars are moving. But this star never moved. That's odd. They've never seen nothing like this in their whole life. But you know what? Everybody else could see it too. This is odd. I'm telling you, the next night, there's 15, 20, 30 of them out there. For a month, a year maybe, we don't know. They're searching. What does this mean? Hey, I found this is Jewish, and I don't know how it ended up here, but here's a prophecy that talks about a star, and that means that there is a king going to be born in out of Israel. And if you notice, that star never moves from where Israel is in the sky. How much interest you think that generated? Somebody said, "You know, we got to go. We got to go. We got to get some camels. We got to get provisions to make a journey across the desert, across the land. We got to do whatever needs to be done. We got to get time off our job. We got to get permission to be gone. We can't go empty-handed. We got to get some gifts." These are expensive gifts, by the way. They didn't just jump in a Kia and drive down the road and see what that was. Major effort on their part. If what we do in our lives is not shaped by God's Word, then we got to ask ourselves, do I really believe or do I really care? Because as children of God, everything we do ought to be guided by God's Word. And if what we're doing is not guided by the Word of God, we either don't care or we really don't believe. God's Word ought to put us into action in every area of our lives. We know these things, but knowing and doing is not the same things. John 13 and 17, Jesus said this: "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." You can know these things and not do these things, but if you know these things and do these things, it's going to make you happy. The Word of God. They had the Scripture. They were looking for the Lord. And then that motivated them to become active, to put forth this great effort to go and find this king where this star was. Number four, let me point this out. I've only got five things I want to show you this morning. Number four, I noticed this. What made the wise men wise? They worshiped. They worshiped. Verse number 7, the Bible says, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. They did not travel all that way and put forth all that effort just to satisfy their curiosity. They came in faith, expecting to find the king. They came with gift in hand. I wonder how many times we come to church to worship the Lord. In faith, expecting that we're going to worship the Lord when we get here. Gift in hand, they worshiped the Lord. They did not come as skeptics just to satisfy their curiosity. They didn't come purely in the interest of science or fact-finding, but they came as worshipers. Their actions prove that. When they came in, now notice this, verse number 11, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshiped him. Let me just point out this morning, when they came in, they didn't worship Mary. They worshiped that young child. They worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. They fell down. They opened their gifts. Is that not strange? Gifts for a young child? Is a young child going to play with gold? What are they going to do with a box of frankincense or myrrh? But this is not just any young child. This young child is God, sent down to dwell among us. Gold is a gift that you bring to God. Frankincense was a gift that you brought to God. That sweet smell, that smell. Myrrh was a gift. And if you study out, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, they gave him vinegar, was it not, mingled with myrrh. This points that God came down, dwelt among us to be our prophet, priest, and king, and died on the cross for our sins. This wasn't just any child. It wasn't just any king. I'm telling you, they came, they worshiped him. They worshiped the Messiah, the Savior. Now, we talk about that we come to church, we come to worship. How many times do you think we really worship? I would say that throughout a year of Sundays, and I'm not judging your worship, but I'm saying as a whole, do you think we worship one or two times? I mean, really, really worship. I would say most of the time, what we sort of try. Right. Do you remember a few Sundays ago when the choir sang before Sunday school? And let me just say, if you're missing, people say, come out living and say, well, they don't sing very many songs. Well, we sing before Sunday school. I sort of like that. You're not getting the full worship service if you don't come to the song service on time. Come in, sit down, the choir sings, and then Brother Stephen opens up, and we go to Sunday school, and we come back. We have a couple of songs. We have preaching. But a few Sundays ago, the choir sang, and somebody said, sing another one, and somebody sing another one, and they basically sang all the way through Sunday school. And I told Kim after that, I really enjoyed that. But I told Kim later, we were talking about that. I told her, I said, I probably didn't think a spiritual thought until about five or six songs in. The Spirit of God, I began to get my mind on what I was here for. And the Spirit of God moved in, touched my heart, and I began to worship the Lord. But we are so, you know, in our rut sometimes, or we are so used to what we do. We come into worship, but we don't worship. And if we come to worship and we don't worship, we've not come to do what we came to do. If we miss worshiping Him, we don't come to church to work. We come to church to worship, get our spiritual batteries recharged, come together as God's people. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I think it would help us if we took a whole month and the first song we sang is, "Brethren, we have met to worship." And I wish I was one of them singing preachers. Them singing preachers, they make me mad. I mean, that's just too much talent for anybody to be able to sing and preach. "Brethren, we have met to worship." I'll tell you, that's a good song. What is it in that green book? I think it's in the red one or the green. $198 in the green book. I'm not going to sing for you. But just listen to this. And if I try to just out of memory, I'll mess it up. "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, see poor sinners round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Sisters, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin?" Well, we don't see that much anymore. When's the last time you seen somebody really under conviction and they needed the Lord to save them? And we need to help them. "Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that He will be found." But we come to worship and we don't worship. We don't make room in our heart for God. But I'm telling you, these wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced. And when they saw the sun, they fell down and they worshiped Him. We are suffering in our day and time from the boy that cried wolf. Because all we've heard all our lives is explained to us, you know, well, the European Union, and as soon as it comes together and 10 nations join together, that'll be the beginning of this and that. And Mikhail Gorbachev is the Antichrist because he's got a birthmark on his face. And Y2K is going to be the end of the world. And there's going to be an eclipse. And then in 7 more years, it's going to make an X across America. And that's the end of it for us. And on and on and on. And the blood moons are coming, and then something's going to happen, but we hear it, and nothing happens. And you know, after a while, it's like the boy that cried wolf. After a while, they quit paying any attention. And we've heard so much down through the years, and it's good to hear these things, but let me point out something. They were not worshiping the sign. The sign was the star. The signs all round about us, if it does not point us to the sun and make us worship the sun, then it's not a good sign. Well, to get our eyes off, and not saying neglect prophecy, all that is interesting and all of it's good, but a lot of times we're trying to read a map and the road's not there yet. That'll confuse you. You say, well, I thought this was the right road, but it turns out it wasn't the right road. That's how prophecy is. If we're saved by the grace of God, you'll never know who the Antichrist is anyway. Why is everybody trying to figure it out? I'm be gone. Let the devil have it. What's it matter to us? But we just ought to really focus on getting back to worshiping Him. Because that's what we come for. And He is the one that give you the breath to get out of the bed this morning. And He is the one that blessed you enough to be able to buy some gas to put in your car to drive over here in comfort. And He is the one because that blessed you that you're not sitting there hungry this morning. Unless you had Krispy Kreme donuts and they're wore off. Boy, I'm telling you, we ought to worship Him. They were wise. Oh, we think about, oh, they were really smart. Well, they were really smart, but I'm telling you, they were wise because they worshiped Him. We know a lot more about Him than they did, and we don't worship Him. I'm not throwing off on your worship or my worship, but I've been in services where we worshiped. And when you really worship, these two things will wear you out, not worshiping and worshiping. You go to church and you don't worship, it'll wear you out. When is He going to get done? I am so tired. And I've got to be here, and I've got to be back, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and it'll just wear you out. But if you really get where you can worship God, it'll wear you out too. But it'll be so much different, you'll say, praise God, that's good. That was good. They worshiped. Last of all this morning, the wise men were wise because they obeyed God rather than man. Now in verse number 8, Herod, you know, he wants to kill Jesus. And if you read on down when you get home, he tried to. Verse number 16, he sent out and they killed all the children in Israel, 2 years old and under. That's why I believe the Lord Jesus was older by now. 2 years and younger, kill them all. Herod wanted to find Him and kill Him. And in verse number 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found Him, bring me word again that I may come and worship Him also. You better watch what them politicians say about the Lord. I wouldn't trust Him as far as I could throw Him. But these wise men, they don't know any different. They said, yeah. We'll go down there and we'll find Him. We'll come back and we'll tell you where we found Him. But after they worshiped in verse number 12, the Bible said, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Boy, I like that. They got done worshiping. They said, fellas, we come for what we came for. And, you know, I guess we ought to go back and tell the king what we found. He asked us to. It's a long ways. We better bed down for the night. We spent all afternoon worshiping, having a good time. That night, God came to him in a dream, said, don't go back to him. Don't listen to him. Just go on home. They got up in the morning and said, man, I had a strange dream. I dreamed God spoke to me and said not to go back to Herod. And I believe another one said, you know what? I had the same dream. God spoke to them in a dream. And they said, what are we going to do? Are we going to do what the king said, or are we going to do what God said? And every one of us in our lives, you are going to face the same thing. Eventually, you're going to do what man says. Are you going to do what God says? I'm talking about being wise. Who are you going to be? You're going to have pressure. You young people are going to have pressure on you. In school, in a job, in your family, even sometimes in church, you run up against, who am I going to obey? Am I going to obey God or am I going to obey man? And it's going to set the tone for your whole life. And it's going to make the difference of whether you're wise or whether you're foolish. Who are you going to obey? You need to be like Peter. They told Peter, they said, we're going to let you go out of prison, but don't preach or teach in his name anymore. Peter, you promised us that before you leave. Peter couldn't promise that. He said, well, we ought to obey God rather than man. And it didn't take him long. He was right back to preaching. And he's right back in jail, but he told him what he's going to do. He said, I'm going to obey God. That's first and foremost in our lives. I want to obey God. I want to do what God tells me to do. Man will tell you all kinds of things and schemes and go here, do this, buy this, do that. Just learn early. I'm just going to obey God. When I got out of the Air Force, the guy told me, he said, there's no jobs. He said, you ought to re-enlist. This is a sure thing. There's no jobs out there. He said these words, you'll starve to death. I told him, though, I'd already signed some papers and getting ready to re-enlist, but I went in and I told him, I said, I'm getting out. God's called me to preach, and I'm getting out of the military. And he gave me that spiel. I wish I could find him. I really do. But I'm telling you, somebody in authority over you and telling you, you better not do this, you'll starve to death. You going to obey God or you going to obey man? I'm glad I obeyed the Lord. I hadn't starved to death. I hadn't even come near to starving to death. That's why the wise men were wise. And if you ever meet the Lord Jesus, I mean really meet Him, you'll go home another way. I like that. They departed into their own country another way. He will change your whole life another way, but it's in a good way. That's why the wise men were wise. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.